the exemption zone. And included in that rant was the idea that I had something to do with exemptions, that I should participate in this, or should be participating in. Yeah. Well, I have no interest, having from the beginning, exemption zones. I hate the idea. I don't want them to permit it. The whole idea, they busted, or didn't bust, but they stopped this clown from performing down there. The officer Bechtel was actually overlooking. Juggling balls, no. Juggling pins, no. Walking the pantomime tightrope that's on the ground, okay. Getting up on the unicycle, no. Balancing the thing on your chin, no. This thing was okay, pantomiming with the children. This is like, forget for a moment that there's laws and city councils and these. This is the opposite of clowning. Clowns are in our culture and in cultures throughout the planet. They're the guys who violate the rules. They drop their pants in public. And then you stand with your kid and you say, look at that, he dropped his pants in public. We don't do that, do we? That's how we learn the culture's rules, is by the clowns violating one of the ways. The clowns violate the rules continually. And to have a police officer, oh my God, I mean, in her costume, standing next to a clown in his costume, and giving the benefit to the police officer and saying that she's the one, this is the white clown, in Commedia dell'arte, this is Ed Porter's an ideal white clown. He stands there, and Auguste is the wacky chaos character. Auguste, a white clown, is not supposed to win. I mean, he's supposed to get a pie in his face. And I won't be surprised if it happens before this thing is over. But we don't need the police officers to be and backed by the city council. What are they doing? I mean, if they're not, I don't know why we go to the city council with these kind of things anyway. I don't know why it occurs to us when the surfers are fighting with the kayakers out on the waves that we think we should go to, who are these people? The city council? Are these like the wise men and women of the tribe? Why are we taking these cultural questions to the... They're the legislators. It's good to have some. And get some smart ones. There's a couple with brains. They ought to figure out what is the best way to put laws. But hell, we don't have to work everything out as laws. This is not the place where the community is. We ought to have town council meetings. We ought to have debates, panel debates, with Robert Norson up on the stage, representing one side and somebody else on the other side. Four of us and five of them, and putting forward the ideas from the side, and then the people from the. This is a town hall. We don't need. Who the hell is Emily Riley? I mean, oh, she's a nice, she's got pretty eyes, she's got a little bakery up there. Enough, you know, let her pass laws, you know. She's not like one of the wise people. Why are we going to her and asking about these central and cultural questions that have nothing to do with this? Pass a law if you need a law, you know, but the clowns, the juggling, the playing downtown, the merchant has a problem with their neighbors in front and their neighbors to the side. Let them work these things out elsewhere, and certainly not by making laws against things and then particularly exempting them in front of this guy's shop and not hers. But I did get the hell out of it. Pull those fucking things down. Don't let them ever put them up, is my thinking.
Now, the problem, of course, is that the council is the only body that's supposed to be able to control the police. And it's the police that originally sparked the concerns that a lot of us had last summer, that the police were going after musicians and performers. We didn't go to the council and said, make a law. We said, get these fuckers off our back. Actually, we didn't even do that. We mentioned that when they brought up more laws that the merchants were trying to use because they essentially wanted to rationalize and justify the behavior of the police, or maybe they felt the police weren't harsh enough. That was, I think, the concern. The reason. And what do we do now is really the question. I mean, I think maybe you wanted to say something, Mike.
Well, one of the reasons why I went to the city council meetings and was very much present there was because in the back of my mind I had this picture of this gathering of the populace of Santa Cruz, that these people would swarm down there to eagerly participate in this process, to hear both sides of the story, to have their chance to input on it, and to sort it out in a very democratic way. And that, to me, you know, the fact that the city council blew that off. They could have encouraged that to the nth degree.
Should we consider the city council any kind of a body to do that? Tom has spoken about, you know, they make laws, but I don't think they even make laws. They pass laws the staff has given them. They rationalize existing police practices.
And they're unconstitutional.
They support business interests. I mean, it seems to me the city council is not a representative of the community anymore. I talked about this years ago, saying we've got to form our own groups, whether they call them Soviets or alternate councils or whatever the hell. Or maybe we should call them, you know, block parties. We can have block parties with discussions and performers and chalking on the sidewalk and all this stuff. We'll wash it all off afterward and we'll be good. But nonetheless, you know, but you know, we need to do something that's independent of these bastards, because we go there, and the reason people won't go to the council is because they know they're not going to be listened to. They know that there are other voices that are stronger than them. They know they're going to get 3 minutes or two if Riley wants to push them. Yeah. You know, so we all know that. Yeah. So what do we do next? That's the question.
The
we do the September 5th thing in the Loudoun Nelson. We maybe we'll do a speak out. Maybe Steve Argue and I get arrested tomorrow downtown with a move along table. We've been talking about setting up a move along table in front of the Pacific Trading Company and just not moving along.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to block the sidewalk. So we're not going to crap on the street. We're just going to petition. Is all we're going to do. And if they arrest us, well, then they'll arrest us. That's just how it goes.
You have 10 feet, but you don't have 10 feet.
You have 10 feet. You have 10 feet in all directions from the.
If you go directly forward from Pacific Trading, from Carolyn Heinrich's business, the Pacific Trading Company, if you go 10 feet directly forward from Carolyn Heinrich's downtown business, there's no room to put a table.
Oh, there is.
You're too close to the crosswalk.
We've been tabling there for weeks, and they've never tried to get us under the restrictions of the because it's more than 10 feet. You got to be down there to see it. You don't have to be 10 feet from a bench. You can be 10 feet from a crosswalk and 10 feet from a building. You have about a 6 foot. It's actually about 26 feet. All the way to the crosswalk is a pretty long distance. So it's not, you check it out again. We've been there. We've actually measured it out. We had to, because the police came by. What they got us under was the move along. So that's what we may be doing tomorrow. The problem with that is that, I mean, for individuals alone to do it, it's going to be two people who go to jail, and then what? You know, but you know, it's somebody's got to do something, and I guess we're talking about it, that's doing something, but what do you think, Joe?
I just want to go back. I mean, all this is good ideas, and yeah, you know, taking a bus and taking the legal issues to court, whether these things are legal or not, I'm not educated enough to say or schooled in the legal issues. I've seen both sides of it. It seems in one side it could be a legitimate time, place, and manner restriction, and they're very careful about crafting this type of language. So technically it could be legal, but in terms of, like, is that what the community wants? Is that what the community needs? No. So for me, it's like repeal. Repeal, flat-out repeal. Get rid of these damn things. We're sending the wrong message for Santa Cruz to be doing this. It goes completely against this whole keep Santa Cruz weird thing, and I don't know where Coonerty stands on this stuff, but whatever. He's played both sides of the issue, unfortunately. But if you want to, like, take it at face value, we need to eliminate all the downtown ordinances that were recently passed. One of the ways that we attempted to do this was with calling Douglas's stakeholder meetings. We had, everybody, downtown residents. We invited the merchants. We invited the police. We invited the council. We invited performers. Anybody who's willing to show up and sit there and talk. So we were able to have one meeting, making good progress.
Without the police, without the host.
No police.
Not a single merchant.
Right. Keith Holt away from the Downtown Association, who's an ex-merchant, not a current merchant.
Because they already had their laws. They already had their laws.
They already got what they wanted. This was pointed out to the city council. I hammered on this at the 14th. It's like, we're removing any motivation for the merchants to sit down and talk to us. Kennedy attempted to placate us by saying, oh, we'll use the good authority of the mayor and vice mayor's office to, like, compel the merchants to sit down and work out problems. What a bunch of hogwash. That hasn't happened at all. What we need to do is, like, scare the stuff back up, but with the idea that we're not going to, like, meet under pressure. In other words, the council's not going to compel us to sit down and hold these meetings with a bomb holding over, the sort of Damocles hanging over our head, forcing us because we don't want to. They need to focus on the merchants. And what are they going to do to get the merchants to the table? Not a damn thing, apparently. And that's the unfortunate truth in this situation, is that the council is bending over backward to push through whatever the merchants want. And we get the short end of the stick. So whatever we have to do, unfortunately, is probably going to have to entail things like targeting specific businesses for boycotts who are, against the performers, against political tablers, against whatever. And we need to, like, expose people like Rotkin, who I hope to, get him back on the thing for a debate, because he's saying stuff up on the council dais, and he's not being held accountable for it. I'm gonna riff on this.
I want you to riff on it, but unfortunately, we have somebody on the line. We have 11 minutes left in the show, and I'm hoping we can actually get an expansion of this show, because this is such a great topic, and we got folks rolling here. But we have on the line with us Andrea Tischler. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
And, Andrea, you've been postponed for three shows. You've been covering the medical marijuana ID cards coming up at the County Board of Soup. So we're just going to briefly talk about this and then try to wrap up this. We're going to try to keep on going until we bump into the next person who wants to either put on music here or do some other stuff. But what happened? Last week, the ID programs,
A couple of weeks ago, Robert. The Board of Supervisors passed a countywide voluntary ID program for medical marijuana patients. Basically, it's a voluntary system. I emphasize that because I don't think very many medical marijuana patients are going to run over to the county health department and get their piece of plastic. It requires that you give up your doctor's recommendation, the original copy, and supply information to them with respect to your name, address, and all the particular things that identify you. The county has, and the Board of Supervisors have assured us that none of the papers are going to be kept, including the doctor's recommendation. They'll even shred the papers in front of you if you like. However, for
so
myself...
So you'll pay another $100 for a second copy? I'm sorry.
It's $35.
Only $35.
$35
it's $100 to go to the doctor to get the recommendation.
That's correct. Right. That's right. Or more. I think that this program is going to be rather it's not very many people are going to participate in it, and they're going to come back in 6 months and have a review to see how this is working. It's going to cost the county some money out of pocket in a year where budgets are tight. However, it's a voluntary system, so I'm not really worrying about it. With doctor's recommendations.
Andrea, do you trust Tracy in this matter? I ask you this because I don't have a terribly high opinion of his running of the police department. I know that, you know, there have been negotiations between Valerie and Mike Corral and Sheriff Tracy, and that. I see things in the paper like last Thursday, he and the DEA were had the biggest pot bust in the county, you know, and since 2000. So, how far is Tracy actually going to be? You know,
well, this is going to be administered by the Department of Public Health, so it's not administered by the by law enforcement in any way. Otherwise, we would very much object to it. What I'm concerned about is medical records spread everywhere on people's desks there, where everybody could see them.
How about guidelines? That was an issue that I think was even more important that was ignored, the idea of how much can people have before the cops grab your stash and say, this is too much.
Well, that is another entirely different subject, but applies to medical marijuana patients. People with doctor's recommendations now who want to grow marijuana or have somebody grow marijuana for them, and also for patients who want to possess a certain amount, have no idea now whether it's six plants that are acceptable or 60 plants, whether it's 3 ounces or 3 pounds of marijuana. And what we would like to do is we would like to see this in some way codified. We are a nation of laws, and so we would like to see the Board of Supervisors pass a set of guidelines which would give plant numbers that patients can grow an amount of dosage that they can possess.
Now, Andrea, on Free Radio Santa Cruz, this show, actually, Tracy said he opposed the guidelines. We understood that last year, Valerie and Mike Corral opposed the guidelines, and there was some funny business that happened around the agenda item a year ago when that issue came up. But this, now, has that things changed? The Corrals now favor the guidelines?
There has been some change here from the Corrals as far as guidelines are concerned. We had a meeting over here at the Compassion Flower Inn about a week ago with the people who are the frontline activists with Micah Corral present also. Now we, I think the Corrals now see that guidelines are a necessity because in the next year or so, the state is going to force the legislature, which up to this point has been remiss in passing guidelines, to pass a guidelines for the entire state. And what we're concerned there is that they're going to pass very, very conservative guidelines, maybe a six-plant maximum and so forth. Mm-hmm. If enough counties before that time can be on record and have ordinances which have a larger amount of cannabis product and number of plants, then we have a little bit of a little leverage there. We have a little a bargaining chip, so to speak.
You know, I've got some interesting articles from the Anderson Valley Advertiser on the Rosenthal case that was a success, was a victory of sorts, although, you know,
It's still a conviction,
and it's you know, there's been, you know, there's no safety now for people who are even representing cities. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous, even they're deputized. But I can't talk to you more now because I only have 5 minutes left. Although I'm going to try to expand the show a little bit. I know you're going to be busy on Thursday. Can we try to catch you next Sunday with a further update?
Well, Sunday I'm going to be in Bali. I'm sorry,
long
Robert,
distance
but I'm
to
going
to
be lying out
fine.
There on the beach.
Get
you
on
know.
The radio phone, for heaven's
I'm
sake.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to be unavailable for about the next month.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, we'll just have to grab you. We'll have to get
well,
you
when we get back,
back
yeah. These will still be, I'm sure, issues in August
I'm
as well.
I'm afraid so. Hey, thanks a lot, Andrea. Andrea Tischler of the Compassion Flower Inn.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we're back on air. Let's hear. We're hearing some backstage discussions.
Nothing.
Now, what have you all been talking about here? You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. By the way, there's
chewing gum. You have to share
an opportunity
with the whole class.
In the next 5 minutes, you can call in and talk to the big three here. It's True, Williams, and Naughty. Actually, probably unless they come and throw us out, we're going to take a little longer to get out of the studio in 5 minutes. But we've got the big
let me
three.
Let me tell you
here.
What we were talking about. I'm talking about the dichotomy between this right now.
Tom Naughty speaking.
Tom Naughty, thank you. It's gotten to a point where it's so crazy that they're actually stopping a juggler from entertaining the children. The community, I think, fully agrees. I don't think there are any merchants. Well, you know, I don't think there are many merchants downtown who would agree that even that is what they intended. You know, that they even meant to go that far. They meant to have their whims encoded in law. They wanted to have absolutely the right to say what can happen on the public sidewalk in front of their shops. They wanted to approve this juggler, disapprove this guitar player. They believed that they should have that right. They actually believed that they were stunned when Carolyn Heinrich found out that she could not tell Cosmic Chris he may be there or he may not be there. When she found out that she didn't have that kind of control about the public sidewalk in front of her own shop, she was stunned. She believes it's just natural that the people who pay taxes, who own these businesses, of course have control about the public sidewalk in front of their shop. And so they passed laws to try and give her that. But now it got so crazy that they busted the jugglers. So I think, you know, there's a chance that they're going to back off the juggling thing. And when they do, I think this is the problem that what do we say? Oh, boy, yay, we get to juggle. But they're still going to keep coming down on this guitar player or this guy or the political speaker or the table. And so we're in kind of a bind. At some point, I do want to sell. If we can stop them from busting jugglers, I think that's worthy of celebration. I don't think it's the end of the line. But I do think it's worthy of celebration at that moment. So that's the dichotomy we're talking about, how that affects us. If they go so far, it's just like what they did. They passed a 14-foot prohibition on performing, and then said, no, okay, it's going to be 10-foot, and then they wanted us to celebrate that as a compromise. I said, Jesus Christ, okay, you're going to hit me on the head with a claw hammer once a day, you know, and now, no, they changed their mind, they're going to use a ball-peen hammer, and I'm supposed to call that a compromise and be happy about it. Go to hell.
Here, here. A couple of quick announcements here in case we do get ousted in the next 2 minutes. Plan Columbia video screening coming up Tuesday, 624 Vets Hall, 846 Front Street. That's in room 23 upstairs at... Da-da-da-da-da. Ooh, do I have the time down here? I don't. You know what time that screening is? I think it's 8 at the
Plan Columbia.
7:30,
according to the former Iraq action.
Well, we're still around. But I would more closely associated with Santa Cruz Peace Coalition. So
the Santa Cruz is very peaceful these days, perhaps a little too peaceful, while they're bombing the hell out of, or I should say, shooting down the folks in Iraq, and preparing for another expedition to Iran. Any comments on the international scene before we seen a sign off?
No, it's a way for another show. It's another pathetic. Show. Everybody knows it's pathetic.
Yeah, it's a bad scene. And actually, I was, the international scene is affected by these local laws. I am not allowed to set up a table and talk about Iraq for more than an hour either. I have to move along. And some people could say, well, you know, move along the street and you can talk about it 100 feet down. What the fuck is the problem? Your comment, Joe?
Well, especially if you've got something that's specifically targeted, like anti-globalization protesters maybe want to take on Starbucks, The Gap, or Borders, or whatever against these giant chain stores. You set up for an hour, then you're gone. What are you going to do? You're going to table against Borders, you know, halfway up the block, you know, five blocks away? What's the point? It's specifically, I mean, what if a picket line wants to set up, okay, that's...
You can do a picket
line. That's still legal, but you have to have information.
You can't have a display device.
You haven't have information set up on the table. All of a sudden, there's these unnecessary restrictions for no good reason. I mean, all of a sudden, if you have a specific geographical location,
they are necessary because you need this kind of thing to make sure that Carolyn Heinrich can get rid of Cosmic Chris from in front of her store.
Well, that's
otherwise,
the thing.
It'll be unequal enforcement.
It's a shame the merchants don't like sit down and talk to folks. It's just like, you know, the supposedly the top five merchants' complaints had nothing to do with performance. Had nothing to do with political tablers. I mean, the hosts, you know, own data shows that less than 1% of their total contacts, not even complaints, just total contacts.
I'm going to start it. We don't move along here.
Free Radio Santa Cruz.
You've got 3.5 hours.
The Free Radio Santa Cruz police have arrived. Officer, we shall not
be moved. We shall not, be moved.
Like a tree, that's that. another 10 minutes, perhaps?
Oh, you can, well, we do have, we are expecting callers from Sacramento in the next hour, so how about 30 minutes, and then I'll come back at 1:30.
Sure, we'll do that.
Okay.
Sounds great, Benny. Thank you. Wow. Now, if only the police were that cool.
That cool.
Thank you, Free Radio Santa Cruz.
The whole thing, back to the thing, it's about the merchants, concerns. It's like, I mean, every argument we made, every concern we had back in January and previous to that, still holds. Nothing has changed. I mean, the arguments are still the same. I mean, if the merchants, their complaints being shoplifting, vandalism, drug dealing, sexual harassment, not enough bathrooms, or things like that, none of these ordinances deal with even a smidgen of those. So it's all smoke and mirrors, and it's impacting the people least able to fight back.
Just a minute.
Where'd you get that list of names? Problems.
That was from the Downtown Problems Committee, probably, back in... Ed Porter would tell you, as he told me at the council meeting when I suggested he go to the Parks and Rec and look at the bench situation, why destroy planning seating space for 20 or 30 people at the Walnut Avenue Pacific Trading Company Costa Brava planner. He said, it's a problem spot, and it's what some cities have done, and it's what has to be done. And I know that's not a downtown ordinance, but that's part of the same mentality,
right.
And it's apparently being done, if you're correct, Tom, based on some of the same players are involved in making those choices as pushed for the downtown ordinances and using the same kind of staff and the same kind of backdoor process. So what next?
Well, I don't know what next. It's obviously pressure. I mean, not letting these people get away with it, I think, is the first thing. So the public needs to be educated, and this is part of what we're doing here. Beyond that, I mean, you're looking at the things with the benches. The charge to the Parks and Rec, and Sherry Connable speaks very eloquently about this, is that they're supposed to increase seating downtown. They're doing exactly the opposite. So, I would like the city themselves to tell us what is our recourse when you're not even following your own administrative, the staff's not following their own administrative instructions on a variety of issues. They force us to be in the streets. They force us to take, outside of the system, however you want to call that, those types of measures and those types of actions that are going to, draw attention to this. And if it means embarrassing them in public, then so be it. They deserve to be embarrassed, because they're not being held accountable on this stuff.
And one last thought from me is that we have I see two things we can do. One is fairly negative, but both of them are outside the law, as you say. One would be to boycott those places that are obviously supporting these moves for the police to be the way they are and to do the things that they're doing.
That's not outside the law. That's legal.
It's outside the law if you stand there longer than an hour.
No, you can stand there. You just can't have a table.
Oh, you can't have a table. Okay, well, they'll find something that it's... The thing of it is that it's a statement that the public as a whole can make to change the situation. They can downright just, it may hurt a lot of people, not go downtown Pacific Garden Mall, not support that whole mentality. The second thing they can do, and the thing that I would love to see, is for this humongous street fair to occur, for there to be a planned day or days when literally the streets fill up with people, they block the traffic, which we suggested is a way to get less tension down there, to where the streets are the people's streets. The artists come down there with their art. The musicians come down there with their music. Jugglers, bubblers, everybody comes down there and literally stops traffic and makes a point of reclaiming downtown Santa Cruz.
Here. You know, it is true that the Coalition for a Community Commons, with Greg Kindig and Cassandra Brown and others, have, of course, been trying to get a plaza down there for years. Even when you get a city council majority, apparently you can't get a plaza in Santa Cruz unless Louis Rittenhouse and Mark Premack agree or whatever. I'm not sure. But it's true that they may be able to arrange a specified kind of closing of the streets for a tentative period of time some evening. But I think what you're talking about is a freelance block party, independent
Absolutely.
Of any kind of sanctioning. Just we
Absolutely.
Just do it ourselves, right?
So that the city knows, the police department knows, everybody knows that the citizens of this town have a right to, you know, the public places in this town. And
68.
Yeah. You're here.
And go for it. And if there's no action, then you're actually giving them, you're underscoring that what's happening now is okay.
That's the problem.
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, you know, I'm really sorry that it's come to this kind of confrontation. I mean, it really is. They decided again. They've tried it in the past, but this last thing that happened last summer, when they decided to really draw a hard line, Candy Moise from Jackson Shoes set it off with her petition. And they decided to just, okay, we got to send the word out there. We are just never going to take this anymore. We, the merchants, are going to get our way. And the city council, if they don't go along with it, are going to suffer politically. And so they did. And they drew this line, and they asked people to get on one side or the other, like Bush does, get on one side or the other of this line. Here's where it goes. And this time they actually insisted that the performers be on the other side of the line from them as well. That isn't what has been going on, at least with the performers, for a very long time. There were 23 years. We had an agreement that kept it off of the law books. These kinds of disputes, it came up. There was a guitar player here and a merchant who had an open door and didn't want to hear it and was playing their own music. It's a reasonable kind of neighborhood complaint, you know, that happens. And it needed to be resolved, and we had guidelines for doing that. They aborted that, and they decided to reset the game with, no, they get to say in all of those situations. First they get to say, and then if you want to talk, you may. But we had these. But what you can't do is have that kind of thing encoded into law. And that's what they tried to do this time. They tried to say that these things will be resolved by law, and then there'll be selective enforcement. Well, that's what you can't do, not in law. We had selective enforcement for a very long time.
Right.
As long as it's not enforced by an armed officer, you can make an agreement with your next-door neighbor that is unconstitutional. Because if the government's not involved, it's not a constitutional question. The performers and the merchants had an agreement that, you know, let's say the guy can stay for an hour, and then the merchant said, you know, I just can't handle it. I got a headache today, and okay, not a problem. The guy can move before the hour is up. We can make all kinds of agreements if we're just doing it on a neighborly basis, and that's what we did for 23 years downtown, and it worked. It kept complaints down to less than 1% of the calls that come into the police regarding downtown problems, regarding street performers. It was fine. one of the merchants, no, actually two of the merchants, downtown, had complaints about street performers, and rather than use that process, they went to the police and demanded, and the police started enforcing beyond the letter of the agreement and started using some laws that could be used against performers. It's true, there were laws on the books that could be used against performers. They weren't. And so they went through disturbing the peace. They went through this rigorous enforcement of the 10-foot restriction that had been passed in 94. And then they went to the city council to get that encoded, and while they were at it, they made it a lot worse. And then, no, that was an unintended consequence. So they changed it a little bit. No, that didn't work. Okay, no, we'll get the merchants to agree to certain places where... No, the merchants wouldn't agree to these exempt zones that Joe was talking about. They took it back because the merchants wouldn't agree. I know they wouldn't agree. We did this. That's how I kept them from creating exempt zones. Every time the idea came up over the last 23 years, over and over, the idea came up that maybe there would be certain places. And I kept asking each merchant, where would you like this, like, exempt zone to be?
Fresno.
In front of maybe your shop, maybe, yeah, that maybe that's it. Because you can do reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. If we get into a fight about this, you can do reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions as long as they're narrowly drawn to address the specific issue. That's First Amendment protected. You can do that. Now, where would you like this exempt zone, this place, this to be? I don't know, in front of, let's say, your shop. Well, in town after town, when they do this, what happens with the street performers is, okay, that's the place where we're allowed to do it. Maybe there's two, maybe there's three. We fight in court about what was reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions, about how many. But in the end, we end up with a few or one free speech zone in front of somebody's, I don't know, maybe yours. And then there's like a little social scene that gathers of all the performers who are waiting their turn to have their First Amendment protected activity happen. And there's a little scene, and it's going to happen all day in front of, I don't know, maybe your shop. And every time it came up, the merchants backed off and decided, you know, what was this voluntary guideline thing about?
Tom, let me ask you.
This time, they preempted that conversation by hurrying, as you know. Porter and Riley jammed this thing through so fast that nobody had any chance to stop and hear me say what has stopped downtown association after downtown association president has stopped various efforts by different merchants to get this done. And they didn't do it out of the kindness of their heart. They didn't do it because the political pressure from the performers is just so great that Manny Schaefer and Eberle and all these powerful businessmen in town just couldn't overcome it. They did it because when they looked at it, they realized it was not in the merchants' interest to force this to happen. Emily Riley and Ed Porter preempted that conversation, forced it to happen. Now it's in place, and now they realize, now there are a number of them that realize, you know, we don't actually prefer, for the sake of the merchants, they don't prefer what they forced to happen.
You know, I don't think
forget about doing any good for the performers. For them, it's not.
It would be nice if they realized it. I don't think they realized it. I mean, it'd be nice. And also, I think that while they did ram it through in 2 weeks with four meetings, they then spent another 2 weeks in September, and then they spent another 2 months in January and February, or I should say in December and January, reiterating and supporting this bullshit. So it's not just Riley and Porter. It's the entire, with the exception of Crone and Sugar in the first round, city council. But the question I have for you, Tom, is this. In 1980, you had a more conservative city council.
Very conservative.
In 1980, you had a more conservative downtown. Yet, in those days, and he had a much more brutal police department. It was beating the shit out of homeless people.
Police Chief Peeney.
Yeah, it was code blue. But in those days, nonetheless, you and others were able to get some kind of action going. Was that because the people who are now progressives in power were actually progressives out of power who were actually progressive and were a force for you, or was it for some other reason? What was the reason you were able to succeed then when now you can't? Is it because we're all working two jobs? Is it because the crisis, the economic crisis, is so much worse? What's the reason?
Some of what you suggested is true. There are some of the progressives who were, I had no idea that they had political ambitions, but they were on the Downtown Neighbors Association, or they were otherwise, I don't know, I thought they were just like these nice people who were helping. As it turned out, they then went toward government. And they were of assistance. The Santa Cruz Street Performers Guild did at the Loudon Nelson Center a celebration of street performing event, which is what inspired me to call for the September 5th one. We did it way back then. We had the Flying Karamazov Brothers in the show, and we joined together with the Downtown Neighbors Association in getting the word out. We shared the money, the proceeds that came from first with the Santa Cruz Street Performers Guild. We opened an account at the Community Credit Union, and half of the money went toward the Downtown Neighbors had a program where they were trying to pay off the cost of the mural that's on the side of the Loudon Nelson Center. And so we worked with these groups, which turned out to be very progressive at that time, progressive groups. And so we had their help. We had some assistance. But mostly we wanted at that time, even with that very conservative city government, a very conservative downtown association, because when the conversation went on long enough, they all came to realize that it was in their interests to not have angry performers out there with First Amendment rights, you know, who were, you know, mad at the merchants. It was in their interest to have an agreement.
But was it that the courts were better? I mean, why would they be convinced then, but now they won't even want, don't even
well,
want
no,
to hear
they,
it?
I, see, you say otherwise, but I believe that they would be convinced if they would hear it. They preempted the conversation. There have been progressive councils between then and now. This is 23 years. The first one was that very conservative one. This has come up many, many times through the years. When Marty Wormhound was the mayor, it came up there and I addressed the issue and you know, Joy at the Vault, it was never going to permit this to go on. The conversation went over and over. Different merchants, you know, these merchants, they keep changing. These council people, they keep changing. You know, they're so transient, these people. I don't know. So I would go back to the next group of them and re-explain why it was that the previous conversation led us to trying to friendly up instead of having a fight. Because
Tom, you had a long explanation on air with Scott Kennedy. I heard you discussing this on, was it KUSP?
Yeah, but that was too late. The thing had passed.
Yeah, but it passed again. Kennedy could have raised your issue at City Council in December and January, or he could have raised it in September. It came back. I mean, changes could have been made, could have been proposed. He could have taken seriously some of the things you said, but he didn't. Why?
Well, because the whole landscape, once they did this shift, once they shifted over to, no, it's a battle between merchants and performers. Everybody always avoided that. Mm-hmm. The merchants did not want to be seen as anti-music, anti-juggling, anti-performer, mm-hmm. right? Carolyn Heinrich was willing to cross that line. That's the woman at Pacific Trading Company. Mm-hmm. And her neighbor at Jackson Shoes, Candy Moise, Candy Jackson, was willing to cross that line.
She joined with her
brand new Downtown Association president, yeah. Keith Holtaway, didn't get the context, and the momentum was moving so much that whatever the merchants want, they're going to get. And they couldn't slow down and hear the conversation and consider what would be in their best interest. They assumed that when I was speaking, especially when I was speaking in a mass meeting as the speaker came on right after Robert Norris and right before Cosmic Chris, that my voice was just, you know, yelling at them about how bad they are. They just assumed that that's what the conversation was. I got my separate conversation mm-hmm. got lost in the mass thing. They weren't in a mood to hear anyway. I'm not blaming you for it.
But this line
was drawn. They weren't listening to a goddamn thing.
You're talking about a rush. I mean, there was a rush this last summer, but...
And once it was done, then, okay, what would we like now? We would like a politician to come forward with a proposition that starts with the premise that I did something very bad 6 months ago. I propose that we undo everything that I did, that I lose all of the people who came to my side as a result of doing it, and that the other people who are going to hate me no matter what I do now are on my side, okay?
No, but remember...
Politically, it's not going to happen.
Remember,
like
the Downtown Commission...
Not easily, anyway. Downtown, it might happen.
The Downtown Commission didn't present it in those terms at all. The Downtown Commission said, you have put these laws on hold regarding street performers and political tablers about a 14-foot forbidden zone until January. We think you should continue this with a six-month hiatus. It wasn't said you have to admit you made a big mistake.
It is so complicated.
The Downtown
Commission question, I mean, that really mixed up between what Ed Porter and Emily Riley were trying to do, which was align themselves with the downtown business interests and be the lefties that have the business guys on their side as opposed to the other left guys that they're fighting with, who then came back in as Rodkin and Matthews, who then said, no, we ain't going with the deal that they tried to set up. That was stupid. We're going to jam this other one through. Downtown Commission, get out of the way. We're doing something else. And Kennedy picked his
Riley
side.
Riley and Porter were not on the side of the Downtown Commission. I beg to differ. In fact, it was Porter who said, we don't want what the Downtown Commission proposed, which in essence was the voluntary street performers guidelines, let them continue.
No, but it was the Downtown Commission's...
He said institutionalized it in law is what Porter said.
But the Downtown Commission's findings came as a result of the process that Porter and Riley initiated. It's true. They didn't get what they wanted out of that process. They didn't get what they wanted out of those community meetings where they were going to gather everybody to get them to tell them that what they ought to do is bust drug dealers and sexual harassers and things like that downtown. They gathered a group to tell them that, and instead the group told them the biggest problems downtown are police harassment and petty laws. I mean, they got thrown way off. They're just not getting these people to tell them what they've gathered them to tell them. They didn't get it from the community meeting. They didn't get it from the downtown commission. But they launched a process that went that way, and that was not the process that would have been launched by Rotkin and Matthews. They had something else in mind. They made that happen. Now we're on their track instead of Emily Riley's and Porter's. And, you know, they get their little petty things, and they overlap. They like each other for this, and they don't for that. But
they all voted for the same things. That's the problem. They didn't. I mean, they all voted for the same shit, whether it was, I mean, Rotkin said he didn't like it. It was a little too extreme, but not that extreme.
No, I agree with you.
Right.
Overall, so if they insist that there are only two sides to this, I'm on the other side from all of them.
Right.
You know, but in answer to some of your specific questions, well, then why didn't they do this? Well, that actually had to do with them fighting with each other.
It's, what, it gets complicated if you ask the specifics. 1980 versus 2003, and because it seems to me that while it was initially rushed, it wasn't rushed after that. We have had a whole year for them to reconsider this whole thing. We have, you know, I mean, Riley listens to my radio show. So do some of these other councilmembers. So they don't just hear my voice. They hear the voices of police harassing performers. They hear the voice of performers concerned about this. They hear Joe Williams. They hear you. And you're saying that they still don't understand. They still think you're just an anti-merchant guy. Is that what you're thinking?
No. Actually, I think a few of them have come to understand that what they did back then was a mistake. I don't know that there are four votes that understand that. And I don't know that it matters politically that, you know, enough that they would then, you know, undo it all and lose this in exchange for it.
Well,
or some of it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to think that they're beginning to see if they can't find a way out of this that includes undoing what they did, especially if you say that there is some of them are listening. I hope that they're beginning to think of ways to undo the mistakes that they made rather than put yet another patch on top of this.
Right.
Exempt zones was not a good solution to the problem that they created. And all of the other patches that they tried to make afterwards are not good solutions. They need to go back to the initial premise, which is that the performers are scum,
and
the merchants are poor, and
Tom,
they've got
the problem
all these
is
problems.
Here,
they need to go back to that initial premise, rethink it, and undo some of what they did.
We only have 9 minutes left now, and the problem we have is that it's never good, and on this show, in my view, to direct our arguments to the council. I always liked it. I mean, you can do what you want. It's free speech radio, but with my permission, of course. But still, I guess the real issue for me before we end this particular segment, and I'm glad you guys all got together here, is what can we do next? I mean, as I said before, it looks like me and that notorious ne'er-do-well argue are going to be out there tomorrow at 2 o'clock in front of the Pacific Trading Company, not trading with the enemy, calling for a boycott with the enemy. Not the enemy, let us say, rather, merchants who have made choices that are bad ones, and they're sticking by them that I think violate basic civil rights downtown. We got to do something about it. But ours is sort of a lone stand, and we got your thing coming up on September 5th. Is there anything else how about you out there in Radio Land? There are four of us in the studio wondering what to do, I'm sure. But out there, you have the solutions for us, and you have 7 minutes to phone in with those solutions. And the number here, of course, is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. Come on now. Let's call quickly with your solution if you're prepared to, let us say, host a street party in front of the Pacific Trading Company. You know, maybe we can give her, you know, some back rub, some therapy. I don't know. So I don't know what the answer here is. In any case,
we'd like to hear from the UCSC students too. They were kind of neglected left out of the loop when this whole thing took place.
And it's summer,
and I know they've got some reasonable solutions that we can use in this community.
It would be nice to have the students, Joe. And you've got a lot of stuff there. I'm hoping to have you here when you do a more elaborate analysis. Or was this the elaborate analysis?
No, I tend to write something up. I've been threatening that for a couple weeks now.
Yes,
but I think a lot of this is people need to be informed of that there is a problem. I think unless you're a street performer, unless you're a political tabler, unless you're like down there on the mall to some degree and spend some length of time down there, I mean, this is off your radar completely. They figure, okay, the city council, they read the little slanted story in the Sentinel, and they figure everything's been taken care of. The merchants get something in their little newsletter that says, the council has, done us a favor and given us all these new laws. The police just start enforcing stuff. So letting people know that there's a problem is the first thing, and I think people who claim there's no problem, or like the council's fond of doing, there's bigger problems than this, bigger fish to fry, they're constantly belittling whatever the problem is. I don't care what their problem is. problem they're focusing on. I've got a bigger problem than they can come up with. So what? We're going to outdo each other with all these problems? It's like the merchants can get this squeaky wheel type legislation. I think the performers can too if we like pressure them on it and call them on this stuff. It's
the public.
Well, the public as well, but in terms of like who's going to make them aware? The performers have to like start issuing press releases. The political tablers have to start issuing press releases, you know, to the papers. Put in. And I like this idea of events, a town hall meeting where it's five on one side, five on the other, whatever, and we discuss this. I like that because we're not going to get any movement on this issue unless the perception changes in the community that we're an endangered species. I mean, even Frank Lima, the great Morgani, talked about that. His last quote before he was brutally, you know, rushed off the microphone back in January was that it's up to you to save the street performers from extinction. Do you think the council is doing that at all? Do you think they've made one, you know, movement in that direction to save us from extinction? No, they're continually pushing in that direction. I don't think that's right. And in terms of, like, I perform very rarely downtown, so I don't consider myself first and foremost a performer. And when I do perform, I'm a political performer. I'm more akin to, like, Phil Free. I'm going to sit there and, like, you know, pound out some political songs. But this political tabling thing is where I'm going to come from, and I'm going to stake out that territory because I think it's unconscionable for the council to sit up there and on one hand say, We celebrate and we laud free speech and a robust political debate downtown. And when they actually take actions that completely contradict those statements. So I think if they need to be embarrassed. Maybe that's not the right approach, but I'd sure like to hear some suggestions on how that. And I'd like to follow up with Watkins' thing. He goes on, in 1994, lots of places political tables can't set up. There's been no problems. Police have, quote, never enforced it. I table there. Anti-police groups even table there. There's a wide diversity. That is interesting in the light of the fuck the
police
hat.
These are Rodkin's words.
Yeah, these are Rodkin's words. I'm quoting him. Anti-police groups. And sure, Mike, here's a guy with the fuck the police, you know, responding to very real police harassment, contradicting exactly what you have to say. What do you have to say about it, Mr. Rodkin? He goes on. I don't see some new wave of repression of people that are down there trying to gather signatures on petitions or circulating information on political ideas. Is that hasn't happened since 1994, and I don't think it's going to start to happen now. I think people are overly concerned about something that there's not a real basis for in practice. Don't take my word for it. Look at what's happened since 1994. End quote. I'll take him at his word and challenge him on that. Yes, let's take an honest look at what's happening down there and what has happened since then. Enforcement, according to Sherry Connable in her testimony, has been off the hook since last summer. The council is not listening to anybody. They're not listening to the downtown commission. They're not listening to people that they say they respect, like Sherry Connable. They're certainly not listening to activists like us. They're not listening to the Street Performers Guild. They're not listening to anybody. So what do we need to do? We need to embarrass them. We need to embarrass the merchants. We need to have these town hall meetings, etc., etc., etc. Education is paramount. The public needs to be informed that there's a problem downtown, and we're not going to get any movement until then. End of rant.
Rant on, man. Of course, ways that people can get involved is they can contact the Huff line at 423-HUFF. They can contact Tom Noddy if you're a street performer and you have a problem and can give you...